that would help if I turned things on around here, wouldn't it? And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this segment of the Hagman Report. We're going to be picking things up, picking up the tempo a bit right now. You know, many things are taking place that we need to talk about, and we are. Before we do, I want to mention a couple of things. Number one, hear the Watchman Conference until 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Folks, please take advantage of this. If you're going to hear the Watchman Conference, or if you believe you're going to go, register, because tomorrow at 9 o'clock ends the $99 special. All right? Right now, you can register for $99. And I'm not even sure if it does cover expenses, excuse me, for the rooms, the vast, I kind of got a glimpse, and it was an unauthorized glimpse, sorry guys, of the expenses, and I was kind of shocked. So, anyway, take advantage. $99 for a ticket until 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. So go to hearthewatchman.com and sign up. Look, you can meet us. You can have coffee with us. Not. You might want to pay an extra $10 just to keep us away from you, right? But seriously, people like J.B. Wells, people like Greg Jackson, and Coach Dave Dobmeier. Oh, my goodness, Coach Dave Dobmeier. I want to spend some time with him. He is just a firecracker. He's America's coach, Dave Dobmeier. Flip Benham, you've got Michael Boltilla Jr. I mean, these are, and Pastor Langford. Oh, my goodness. Pastor Langford, he's going to just blow the roof off the place. These are individuals, when you are in their company, and I can tell you this, I spent time with Pastor Langford and his wife, and wow, you talk about godly people, but it's just going to be tremendous. And it's a lot different when you hear them on the radio and then you see them in person and talk with them. It's exciting to me. I would go just to see the lineup. I mean, just to spend, I would pay that just to watch J.B. Wells in person and listen to him in person. Or any one of those speakers I mentioned and more. It's going to be a fantastic, fantastic conference. That's here, the Watchman Conference. I really cannot wait to meet many of you who have written me and said, I'd like to meet you at the conference. I will, and I'll do. You know what, if I've got to stay up for three nights straight, I want to meet everyone, talk to everyone I can. I mean, that's my promise to you. I really want to meet you face to face. I want to give you a hug or shake your hand, whatever. You know, I really do. Because, to me, you are what it's all about. So, until tomorrow, 9 o'clock in the morning, tickets, $99. Not a bad deal. Take advantage of it. Also, portions of the night's broadcast brought to you by HealthMasters.com. 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 You want to feel good? You want to change your life? Visit HealthMasters.com. Sign up for their newsletter. Sign up for their newsletter that gives you a lot of information about nutritional products. And they have the best nutritional products out there. I don't care who sells what. I can tell you this, Health Masters has got the best products of any company out there. I've seen the films, the videos about how they create their products. Machines that cost millions of dollars. Unbelievable stuff. That's healthmasters.com. Ted Brewer will, if you have a specific issue, you can write to him. Chances are he knows about it in terms of, you know, what the issue would be. He's written a great book, Breakthrough Health. Great company. That's healthmasters.com. He's got a new book coming out too, I believe, or an updated version coming out soon. Watch for that. Also, American Survival Wholesale, americansurvivalwholesale.com. They're a sponsor for here, the Watchman Conference. Plus, you know, I was taken to the woodshed too. By someone who said, why don't you talk about their Bible drive? My goodness, they are giving away Bibles to those in desperate need of Bibles. I mean, if you cannot afford $10 to buy a Bible or whatever the case might be, contact them and say, look, man, I really would love to have a Bible. mine's worn out, or I don't never had one, or whatever. But even beyond that, they've got all things necessary for your survival needs. They've got long-term storable food. They've got survival equipment. They've got so many things. You could spend a long time shopping there. And folks, you don't need a ton of money just to start. Get started on preparations. You can talk to them and they can help you out. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, a veteran-owned, Christian-owned company. And we're proud to be partnered with them. Very proud to be partnered with them. They're going to be at here the Watchman Conference again. A display there where you can see the products, and they're going to do their best to show everything that we know what they have. So I can't wait just for that as well. Two great companies, HealthMasters.com and AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. You know, while I'm at it too, folks, I want to mention the Christian Marketplace. We are taking steps to really awaken that up. And to those people who believed in us in the beginning of the Christian Marketplace, you go to HagmanHagman.com. You can click on the link toward to the Christian Marketplace. If you are a business owner, Christian business owner, we need to get together. We need to stay together, because right now Christians are under attack everywhere, but especially in America. Yeah, maybe not by bullets and bombs at the moment, but that's coming. But as Christian businessmen and women, and as Christian consumers, we need to support one another. The consumers need to support the Christian businesses. I have to give JD a lot of credit. Really, this is his baby, his idea, saying, you know, wouldn't it be great to have a Christian-friendly marketplace? And this is what we're attempting to do. So we ran into a lot of stumbling blocks in the beginning. And I'm not going to get into all the problems that we ran into. But the fact is, we have and are overcoming those problems. And this is something that I'm very excited about. The people who are in business want to advertise, hey, I'm a Christian owner. I'm the owner of a Christian business. I'm a Christian and I own a business. We want this the place for you to be able to advertise freely. And for those people who want to support Christian businesses, we want you to be able to go there and through one click or two clicks of a mouse, be able to identify, to find a company that you're looking for and hook up. Megan Hopp, just a tremendous business owner of a business. You're going to be hearing more about her shortly. Just a tremendous person. The reason I mention her is because she's an example of someone who I found through her interest in the Christian Marketplace. So watch for that too. I'm excited about this. I really am. And for all those people who began with us and said, oh man, this is not going anywhere, we are going to reward you. Trust me, I promise you, we're going to reward you like you've never really thought you'd been rewarded because you believed in us initially. And maybe we didn't come through the way you thought we did or we should have. We want to thank you for either sticking with us or believing us in the beginning. And so there's going to be a lot there. I mean, there's going to be a lot of excitement there. So that's the Hagman Christian Marketplace. But all you have to do is go to HagmanHagman.com and click on the Christian Marketplace, and you'll see what I'm talking about. I'm just so excited about that. All right, let's get into some really hard-hitting news here. Really things, again, that we need to address. Scalia, murdered? I believe so. Being reported right now, there are a number of issues. Of course, we know about the ranch where he was found, and the club that was associated with the ranch. We know about the numerology part of the days, that really kind of weird aspect of the numbers. Of course, the Daily Crow had done a fantastic research and expose of that. But what are we hearing now about this White House confrontation over FBI, over the FBI, leads to a Scalia murder? Veterans Today, and regardless of what you may think about that website or the individuals, some say, oh, what an anti-Semitic website, or it doesn't matter. The information is what counts here. The article is titled Scalia, What Really Happened. The author writes that Justice Scalia was surprised when he was ordered to the White House. This was not a man you gave orders to, especially not Obama. It was Justice Scalia who vacated the long sacrosanct immunity from civil lawsuits, opening the door for a weakened presidency. Sources say that Scalia was the single actor behind the impeachment of Bill Clinton. Obama was aware of this and ordered the FBI to set traps out for Scalia. And they do this. Trust me, the Justice Department weaponizes agencies, FBI. The author of this article says, we'll now outline the downfall of Antonin Scalia. Yes, this is a story of secret societies operating worldwide and ritual satanic child abuse that permeates Washington. Now, I'm going to say this to everyone. The experience I've had in investigating child sacrifices, ritualistic killings, satanic ritual abuse, doesn't even compare to what Russ Dizdar knows, but I do know this. There's an epidemic. Child abuse, ritualistic child abuse, kidnappings, satanic torture, sexual deviance, whether it be with the royal family, and you folks, you might recall the mess after Jimmy Savile died, and they found all sorts of information about his sexual proclivities in the UK. Our UK listeners undoubtedly know what I'm referring to. There's a lot of perversity inside the Beltway. There's a lot of perversity by people who are in power. You're going to find out, folks, just how perverse this is, at least my little corner of the world, at least from my view. But anyway, according to Gordon Duff, who's the author of this, he's a senior editor of Veterans Today, and again, like them, hate them, it doesn't matter. It's like me, hate me, I don't care. If I tell you something, and just research it for yourself. Sources say that Scalia was the man behind the impeachment of Clinton, as I told you before. But sources also say that Scalia was called to the White House, attended a meeting there, and left the White House after a meeting with the president just before flying to Texas. He had a manila envelope which contained printouts from a computer that was seized by the FBI. In fact, seized by FBI Special Agent Jeff Ross of the Salt Lake City, Utah office. At least this is the information that Gordon Duff has been getting. Scalia had left the White House carrying, and I quote this from the article, slam dunk proof that would lead to the arrest, conviction, and of course impeachment of a seated Supreme Court justice. Files that contained names of victims and details on sex acts, the preferred types, along with dates and places. All of this was seized was on the seized computer, and these files went uphill from the FBI to the Department of Justice and directly over to the White House. There, political advisors leapt on them, seeing a chance to leverage a justice and, in this case, and this is very important, bring down Scalia and such a way that conservatives would be forced to accept virtually any Obama nomination. When Scalia arrived in Houston in a chartered plane after ditching his U.S. Marshal Protection detail, Scalia and his companion, C. Allen Foster, Foster heads up the Order of the Hubertus, and is the co-owner with Poindexter, John Poindexter, of the Cibolo Creek Ranch. It's a 25,000-plus acre piece of property for anyone to use. This, according to Poindexter, free of charge, so long as they are a Supreme Court Justice, A-list celebrity like Mick Jagger, or a billionaire. Of course, you and I, we don't need to worry about that. Now, this is about Scalia, ostensibly. And I'm not asking you to believe this. I'm pointing this out because I do believe from this there are important takeaways from this. Anyway, the Gordon Duff goes on, the crux of the story is how they got Scalia. According to sources, Scalia had been providing protection for an international pedophile ring and was murdered by friends who he had informed on the nature of his visit with Obama and the doom it signaled for those around him, around Scalia, prosecution, ruin, and Citizens United reversed. In other words, well, I'll continue here. The mechanism Scalia used to provide this protection was the Federalist Society, which chooses the judges throughout the U.S. judiciary system. So any unfortunate pedophile, should he find himself in court, the judge was under Scalia's control, thus making a successful prosecution difficult to achieve. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here, nothing else matters in terms, as far as I'm concerned, because this is not for me right now as a disparagement to Scalia or anyone else. Those of you who are familiar with the Franklin scandal, the Franklin cover-up, those of you who understand the what happened at Boys Town, and even now and up to through now with priests and people in power, not just priests but people in power. I'm talking about the pages in Washington for the congressman. That program just fraught with all sorts of perversion. When you're able to control. And again, I have seen this happen. When you're able to control the court and the outcome of a case, when you're able to, for example, vilify a witness or even a victim, and you're able to have that sort of control, then you've got a lot of control. You can protect the pedophiles. You can protect the people behind the pedophiles. The Federalist Society grooms and recruits candidates to become judges at a very young age. We're talking about just out of college. They specifically seek suitable candidates who have certain moral ambiguities that can be exploited. And this is what a big part of the homosexual agenda is all about, the LGBT agenda. This is what a big part of it is about, folks, if you are involved in that lifestyle. It used to be 25, 30 years ago where that was sufficient, a lifestyle of same sex a la Hillary Clinton, whether bisexual, bicurious, or full out Ellen. What's her name? Ellen, whatever her name is, as a celebrity. They can use, before they would use. And this is big during the time of JFK, his heterosexual activities with female spies and Marilyn Monroe and actresses and such, okay? But now, but see, and at the time, and given the fact that Hoover was who Hoover was, Clyde Tolson, his buddy, and of course, well, his buddy, and Hoover's choice of dress. Now, it takes much more because the morality has has widened. In other words, there's so much more that's acceptable, so now you've got to go very deviant. And let me say this, and I'm breaking from this article. This article does not say this, but I can guarantee you this. There are videos, there are pictures, there are snuff films out there. Real live snuff films. And of course, you have situations where young children are reportedly murdered in hideous ways by other young children. Just look at the MK Ultra program, the Project Monarch, the trauma-based mind control. This is what we're talking about. This is exactly what we're talking about. And from there, we'll say the murder of a child by another child. We'll say a murder of a 1-year-old or an 18-month-old by someone who's 9, 10, 11, 12. And please, I'm about to say something here, so if you have young ones nearby, I'll give you a second to cover their ears or whatever, but the acts that they would be forced to do to that child and then kill that child, and then, of course, and this is the hard part to believe, but to actually cannibalize that child. And film it. It doesn't matter if you believe me or not. There's sufficient evidence out there to prove this. But think about this. Let's say something like this is exposed, and you've got a judge who's able to control the court system and to control the outcome of a guilty verdict or to mitigate the punishment. That's what Gordon Duff was saying this is all about. A stranglehold placed on the judicial system of the United States by a group which serves a big interest, or the interests of big business, corrupt corporations, big pharma, oil, coal barons. This is how their interests are time and time again placed ahead of those we, the people, with the result that our environment and our bodies are polluted by these products of the corporations, but or be it poisons like aspartame and GMO crops and such. But it goes beyond that. It goes into the proclivities and perversities of the social networking of these highly placed individuals. The perversity and proclivities go hand in hand with the things like the things I mentioned, the big pharma, the GMO stuff. And I had mentioned this before, but this article does say we remember former FBI founder director of J. Edgar Hoover, the man who said the man who said ritual satanic child abuse was a conspiracy theory. And folks, he was a guy that said the mafia didn't exist as well. But satanic ritual abuse, and as you know, as you've heard Russ Dizzler talk about, it's no conspiracy theory at all. No, it happens. Scalia's talk in Texas was said to have gone like this. Now, this is according to the article now. They have us. We are all going down unless we can give them what they want, and they are holding all the cards. They have everything. There was no negotiation with the White House. Instead, Scalia got, we are told, and multiple sources confirmed, a pillow over his face in a heroic funeral. Okay. One that President Obama refused to attend. Now we know why. For a seated president not to attend the funeral of a pedophile is unthinkable. Again, the reason I bring this article up is not to disparage Scalia, not to cast a doubt on Scalia's activities, but to let you know that if you take elements of this particular report with elements of the Franklin cover-up, and you take elements of various things that Russ is investigating, and understand that there is a Nazi component to this as well, via Steve Quayle, for example, his book, and Peter Lavenda, Sinister Forces, his research findings. It doesn't take long before you see this network of satanic ritual abuse of young children, and also the perversity that in part is being that in part is actually being facilitated in such a perverse manner. This is incredible. The level of satanic ritual abuse against children, the number of pedophiles, the increase of pedophilic activity, the increase of all of such issues needs to be looked at. We've got a bunch of perverts in the white inside the Beltway. We've had a bunch of perverts inside the Beltway for a long time. But now when you combine it with satanic ritual abuse and Satan worship, outright overt Satan worship and Baphomet worship, and of course the Bohemian Grove, which we've known about for a long time. But when you take all of this together and you start putting, you start connecting the pieces, folks, what we have here now, just like Steve Quayle says, and others have said on our program, we have the days of Noah, just as in the days of Noah. So I wanted to bring this out and let you know that we've got a real problem here. And speaking of some weird proclivities, InfoWars reported on this, and I was talking with some people there, and Rubio is a very extroverted homosexual during his college years. And once again, you might say, well, does this really make any difference? I believe it does. When you have a Florida senator reportedly attending homosexual parties back in the 1990s and then turning around and preaching, for example, preaching morality today, there's an issue there. Now, I don't know his heart, but I can look at evidence. I can look at, not proof, but evidence, documentation. Apparently, Marco Rubio was a very extroverted homosexual during his youth in South Beach. Now, I know JD, for example, is very familiar with South Beach. And Eric just started laughing there. Yeah, there are some issues there. But despite billing himself, for example, as a lifelong Christian to conservative and evangelical voters, apparently Rubio had gone to some homosexual parties during the early to mid-1990s at homosexual entertainment venues such as the Warsaw Ballroom in Amnesia, Warsaw Ballroom is one, Amnesia is another place, where scantily clad men were covered in suds, actually, foam, where homosexual acts were camouflaged. At Amnesia, the MC there, by the name of, and I'm not making this up, Kitty Meow, a drag queen, would officiate over the suds parties, the foam parties, directing participants what to do. Wayne Mattson is the guy behind this report. Some of these party participants were wearing virtually nothing. And there are some photographs. If you go to InfoWars, there are some photographs there of these foam parties to give you an example of what they are. Now, again, is this just a hit piece? I don't know. But the reason I bring this up is because with the pervasiveness of this immorality since the Obergefell decision came down in June 26th of 2015, since homosexuality in the eyes of many has been made the law of the land, which it hasn't, because remember, Supreme Court decisions are merely opinions, not law of the land. Congress makes law. Supreme Court merely decides on cases. But Rubio, he's got four children and claims to be a devout Christian. When you've got somebody like that and there's evidence to the contrary and he's running for an office of the highest office in the land, I think that needs to be asked. I think without any problem at all, the media needs to be asking very difficult questions. But then on the other side of things, you've got Hillary Clinton, who is a virtually admitted felon, or at least when I say admitted felon, certainly she's admitted some, quote, mistakes with respect to the emails, and as well as her activities involved in Benghazi. So, which is worse? Well, they're both bad. But my whole line of thinking is, let's just look at the entirety. Look at everything. And of course, we've been treated to a week of Oscars, where the Oscars, I don't know how many people watched it, folks. How many people watched the Oscars out there? Did you watch them? My goodness. Of course, the accusations of racism. Isn't that something? That is to exacerbate. The reason that's important is because the people in Hollywood are being pushed to exacerbate the race division right now that we're seeing, because one of the components of the civil war in which we are going to be find ourselves embroiled in will be a racial component. And don't underestimate that racial divide, but we are being exploited as a people, because we're all human. Race is well, we're all human. But the exploitation is really should be the news. Who is paying the people? Who is prompting the people? Who is pushing the people, the celebrities, to really exploit race as a matter of division? Because that will come into play as society breaks down. We need to understand that by itself, of itself, we're being gamed. And in case you're wondering, folks, you can go to various websites, watch Super Tuesday live coverage, and you can see all of the analyses, what's taking place with Super Tuesday. You can see the numbers come in. But at the end of the day, what does it matter? Does it matter? Of course. What about the election rigging that's taking place? How many of the mainstream companies are talking about the election rigging? Not too many people. We have people admitting to voting for Trump. All of a sudden their vote is cast for Cruz, or voting for Cruz and their vote is cast to Rubio or someone else. Insert name here, it doesn't matter. Of course, black box voting, if you haven't really got into talking about, or if you haven't got into to really understanding what black box voting is and what's going on with that, I would urge everyone definitely to check out black box voting. Now, I got a couple of emails here from people asking about what the follow-up situation is with Tim Alberino. Look, I can't really get into it, only to say that there's continued, and I just want to mention this again. Folks, Tim Alberino, he's really at the tip of the spear in a lot of research that he's doing. There was another incident that took place here within the last 24 hours, and of course that situation involves his personal safety. There was something tampered with that could have been extremely problematic. That's all I can really say. And the harassment continues. So please keep in your prayers. He's fine. His wife is fine. His family is fine. But please keep them in your prayers. How many people have heard about what's taking place with the New York State with the leak at the Indian Point facility? The Indian Point nuclear facility right now is supposedly leaking a lot of radioactivity. Governor Andrew Cuomo had talked about this. He mentioned this. He said there was alarming levels of radioactivity at three monitoring wells, with one well's radioactivity increasing nearly, get this, 65,000%. The facility reports, now this is the Indian Point Facility nuclear reactor in New York State, along the Hudson. That facility is increasing nearly the radioactivity leaking increased by 65,000%. Do you think that the state, the condition of our nuclear reactors, think we have problems? We certainly do. We do. There's a lot of economic news. One particular person I pay attention to, King World News, had reported on this. Legend warns of coming anarchy, hyperinflation, and a frightening endgame. Egon von Greyerz. That, of course, is the source of this. On the heels of 8 weeks of chaotic trading and markets, the guy who actually became legendary for his predictions on QE and various other historic moves in money and currencies and major global events, you know what he just said? He said, look, the world, not the United States, not the West, but the world is heading toward anarchy, hyperinflation, and a frightening endgame. What he said was, we're seeing the perfect bull trap in stock markets after a fall this year in the Dow of, it was 2,500 points, 2,450 points. We have now seen a rally of 1,250 points, which is roughly a 50% retracement. Well, what's up with that? You're going to see this, apparently, according to this source. There's a long history. Well, investors have really no fear and still expect more than normal pattern of bull markets with minor corrections. So, I said all that to say this. Most people are lulled into believing that, it's all just part of the game, really. The stock market goes up, it goes down, hey, no big deal. But now we've got a guy who's saying, look, folks, everyone's lulled in the false sense of security, and you know what? We're on the verge of total global anarchy, hyperinflation, and product shortages. One of the big things, and folks, this is a huge dot right now, the war on cash. You heard Larry Sumner come out and say, oh, they should get rid of the $100 bill. You're gonna hear people come out and say, we should get rid of the 50 and 20 and cash altogether, because you cannot control what you cannot see, or you cannot monitor. The war against cash is extremely crucial. It's a very crucial part of the end game scenario here. And in 2013, I did a report called They're Just Going to Kill the Dollar. And you can find it on YouTube. To me, it's a fantastic summation. Not my writing, but the YouTube, the way it was done, is just a fantastic summation. Folks, what is going to happen here? They're going to kill the dollar, take down the economy, turn everything digital. This is this is all part of the game. They, of course, have sucked out all of the value of our money, or currency, I should say. And, of course, they want to bring everyone back into the dollar through strong dollar segments. You're going to see the strength of the dollar rise, contrary to what you might be hearing. According to the sources I've talked to, yeah, you're going to see the dollar rise more and more. But the bottom line, they're going to pull the rug from underneath it. And one of the big things here, and I'm going back to now this source, the very small minority who actually get well, it's not going to be, people are not going to be able to really keep their assets in cash. The war in cash by global governments is now in high gear. Countries really are attacking cash in hand. What they're doing is they're limiting amount of people, or limiting amount of money that people can withdraw from banks. We've seen this already. I just want to say one other thing, too, about the war on cash and about the elimination of a $100 bill, for example. One of the big aspects of taking the $100 bill out of circulation is, obviously, if they take the $100 bill, U.S. dollar, out of circulation, what's the next bill? It's a 50. It takes twice as many 50s to make $100. The weight in order to smuggle, we'll say, money out of the country or to smuggle it anywhere in the bulk is twice that of a $100 bill. So you've got to think a little bit differently than just the bill itself. You've got to think about the weight, the bulk, and the fact that you can't really secrete it away as easily as you could with a $100 bill. And in part, that's why they got rid of the $500 bill. But that's another program. But what about the people who do have cash and are keeping money in the bank? We will be hit by negative interest rates, zero or negative interest rates. Now, when that happens, you're going to see bank runs because no one is going to pay to keep their money in a bank, especially if you don't have that much money to keep in a bank. And especially if you do, because you're screwed either way. Depositors are going to be forced to invest in government bonds to finance our growing budget deficit. And people say to me all the time, I don't understand about bonds. We know what are bonds. You don't really have to understand much about this. It doesn't take a lot, really. As government borrowings grow exponentially, bonds are going to collapse in value, eventually become worthless. All currencies basically are going to collapse under the weight of money printing and credit expansion. And you know what? The U.S. dollar, the euro, and most other currencies will reach their intrinsic value of what? Zero. They're not worth anything. The banking system right now, they're leveraged 50-1, meaning that for every $1 in assets, they've got $50 worth of exposure. That excludes $1.5 quadrillion of worthless derivatives. When I was on with Vincent Finelli today, and again, folks, tune in tomorrow night. Vincent Finelli is going to be on our program tomorrow night. You're going to hear things. I mean, this guy is fantastic. You're going to hear some things here's some techniques, some survival techniques. Number one, he's a hoot. Secondly, he's intelligent. And thirdly, well, just tune in. But anyway, the euro, U.S. dollar, most other currencies, as I said, are going to reach their intrinsic value of zero. The banking system leveraged 50-1, excluding the $1.5 quadrillion. And do you even know what a quadrillion dollars is? Heck, I don't. I mean, seriously. How much is a billion? I do know, but seriously. These are just numbers, dots and zeros, and basically zeros on a piece of paper. Whatever asset a customer has left in the bank, it's going to disappear, folks. It's going to disappear in the bankruptcy of the entire financial system, and no one at all should believe you're going to get your assets back, even if they're segregated. Oh, they're segregated. Remember that? Even in that case, it would take years to sort out everything at the end of the day. Folks, we're in trouble economically. What follows trade wars, currency wars? What follows currency wars? Wars, period. Which brings us to the Middle East, right? What's going on in the Middle East right now? We haven't heard squat from really that much about what's taking place in the Middle East and Syria, have we? The ceasefire, have we heard much about it? Let's take a look at what's going on in Syria. Let's take a look at what's going on in the Middle East. First of all, the White House wants to increase the number of Syrian refugees here in the United States. They're pushing for an increase in refugees from Syria. It doesn't matter what we think. Obama's assistant for immigration policy told a task force set up by the National Association of Countries that the U.S. is eyeing a bigger role to help alleviate a growing crisis, a crisis that we caused. Look for more people. Look for more people to come in under the guise of humanitarian aids. What about the Christians in the Middle East? Have you noticed something funny about the number of refugees coming into the United States? We've talked about this many times before, but where are the Christians? Are they digging in over there? No, they're being killed. Are we hearing about this? Of course not. Because no one gives a damn about the Christians in the media. It's over there anyway. Doesn't affect me here in the middle of the country. You see, we are importing or allowing the Muslims to come in, and that's by design. That of course is to rip apart our moral and cultural Judeo-Christian heritage. That is to basically destroy our country from within. And I just want to revisit this very quickly. I want everyone to think back to 9/11. I want everyone to think back to the stages of, or the various powers, the power structure in the Middle East on 9/11. I'd like people to remember those, and I was not one of them, who objected to the war in Iraq. And for that, I apologize. But, you know, we all mature at different levels, and it took me longer than most. But I want people to really think back to our support of various countries in the Middle East, including North Africa. And really take a very careful mental assessment. Make a very careful mental assessment of everything. And remember what Bush said after 9/11. And, of course, accusing the Muslims of committing the atrocious terrorist attacks on 9/11. And, of course, don't forget the coal before that. Don't forget the various other incidences before that. But I guess the reason I'm bringing this up is because what we saw, George Bush and Dick Cheney in the powers in the White House, in the executive branch, and in Congress, what we saw them do was we saw them open the doors for all of the Islamic terrorists. We went so far to welcoming the Muslims into this country and to make sure that we were not guilty of any type of discrimination against the Muslims, that it was exploited, but it was also intended to be exploited. Do you understand what I mean? You see, I don't believe that the people in power were that stupid at the time. Now, one might argue, well, George Bush did not have the intellectual capacity to be the designer or to orchestrate, we'll say, this discrimination against white people, I should say. I don't like the term. It's reverse discrimination is not even correct. But the plan all along was this. Here was the plan. We go in, we destabilize Iran or Iraq. Iran, of course, would fill in the power vacuum. We knew at the time that the AQ Khan network was instrumental in providing Iran with a lot of the information. The information with respect to the construction of the atomic bomb. We knew these things were taking place. We knew through the destabilizing Iraq that we would end up with really a three-state country, the Kurds, the Sunnis, and the Shias. We knew that by doing so, that would Iraq would implode upon itself. Afghanistan was a losing proposition. That was nothing more than churning out money for the military-industrial complex, just like Russia. I mean, all we were doing was we're keeping the bomb makers in business in Afghanistan. But what is most important is getting Obama in the White House and then allowing him to be the bridge to the Muslim community while implementing or allowing to be implemented Hillary Clinton's State Department covert CIA operation of government destabilization, beginning in Tunisia through Egypt and ultimately to Syria. Syria continues to be the crown jewel of destabilization in the Middle East. Syria also happens to be Obama's red line or line in the sand. The ultimate objective here is to pit the West, that includes NATO, against Russia. The Arab Spring was all planned in advance, as I said before, and as I've written before, Death Race Damascus. It's all about Syria. Meanwhile, we have permitted the North Koreans to do what? To develop their own nuclear arsenal and to put into orbit a satellite. Is that a communication satellite? No, no, no. Not for their three channels on, you know, in North Korea. No, it's not a communication satellite. Back to Syria. Syria, of course, is instrumental for Russia, to Russia, important to Russia, because of the deep water base in Tartus for Russia. Military, of strategic military importance for Russia. And it's also important for China, too. Syria, that is, because of the economic factor. Then, of course, there's the pipelines, plural, going through Syria, that the Saudis need, and the Russians need, and they're at odds with one another. We are supporting and have supported the Saudis. The Russians are not supporting, obviously, the Saudis. So what we have is five fronts in this war. And I did a YouTube video on this, explaining the various fronts of this war. If you don't mind, go back and watch it, because it's coming into play right now, because the ceasefire that supposedly exists or had existed or was to be and then to be extended in Syria is not going to be. We are going to see war in the Middle East. And there's a number of reasons for that. Of course, there's the oil factor, there's the military factor, there's the depopulation part of it. But there's also the economy, the economic factor, because what happened, what caused, or what was one of the causes of the ending of the Great Depression? It was World War II, wasn't it? You're going to see that, because you're going to see the digitization of currencies and basically killing off of the dollar and other major national currencies through war. And it's going to happen in Syria. Make no mistake about it. The fuse has been lit. The war will begin in Syria. And it's going to be the West versus Russia, sparked by Turkey for the recreation of the Ottoman Empire. There's nothing new under the sun, folks. Nothing new at all, folks. I'm Doug Hagman, flying solo. Next stop, Stan Deo. On this Tuesday edition. We'll be right back.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.